first reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and an earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully, dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things had passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tāna, kupu kia tātu. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 32. Te rongopai tāpu ki te ritenga ahone te tekau matahi upoko ka timata toru tekau marua. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoimiti te karoria ki te ato. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoimiti tia ia te kupu mana.
Cool. Well, kia ora whānau, how are you doing? You all right? Good to see you this morning. So today is All Saints Day.
Yep.
Did you know that? Yeah. So it's All Saints Day, and so often what I do, obviously, is preach from the readings, and we can go into those readings in depth. But I thought today I'd take the theme of the day, being All Saints, and try and talk a little bit about that. Is that all right? So sometimes it's good to go into the passage that we're reading that morning, which is what we usually do. And sometimes it's good to take a kind of bigger picture and look at what the whole Bible says about a thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's kind of more of the flavor of what we'll be doing, looking at what the whole Bible says about saints and holiness, all right? Is that all right? So, if it's not, I'm really sorry. you just have to sit there anyway and endure it, which would be a very saintly thing to do. So saints, what are saints? What's saints all about? Well, there's lots of answers to that question, but really, actually, throughout history, throughout Christianity, in the history of Christianity, there's one solid, big, fat, good answer to the idea of what... Well, there's a number of bits to the answer, but there's one big answer to what a saint is. So very simply, we're all saints. Did you know that? I don't know if you feel like a saint. Anyone here feeling like a saint this morning? Yeah, come on. Anyone not feeling much of a saint this morning? That would be me. And I feel particularly unqualified to be saying anything about saints, so I'm going to be talking about other people. But the New Testament says we are all saints, because Paul calls us and he writes to all the saints at Philippi. And he's not meaning to, you know, those five of you and the rest are all sinners or anything like that. But he calls everyone saints because there's an element to which saint means holy one, right? And we'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. But it means holy one. And we, yeah, sanctus comes from that word. And that's the Latin word for holy. So, so we are holy ones and we've been made holy. So there's a truth that we have been made holy in Jesus. Christ, by his death and his resurrection, by the forgiveness of sins which he has won for us, has made us holy. And we are now holy people, the holy people of God. Is that all right? So you got that? We are the holy people of God, which means we are holy ones, i.e. saints. That's the same word. But do you remember we talked about, you know, Paul says three tenses when he talks about salvation. He says, I've been saved. I have been saved, doesn't he? You know, I've been saved through through Christ. Then he also says, one day, you know, when Christ comes again and, you know, all things are wrapped up, I will be saved. So he talks about a future of being saved, like fully saved. Because I don't know about you, but I don't feel fully saved right now. Not all of me is like completely how I will be in heaven. Is anyone completely how you will be in heaven? Not really, eh? So one day we will be fully saved, saved. Does that make sense? And that's how Paul talks about it. He says, I have been saved. You know, there's no doubt about it. Jesus has done that once and for all work, and I'm his. I've been saved. But I will be saved as well. And then he also says that phrase, I am being saved. And he uses all three in his epistles. I am being saved. So he talks about salvation as a doing, an ongoing thing. It's something that's happened, great. And it's something that one day everything will be the way it should be, fully saved. Does that make sense? But he also talks about it as something we're doing, an ongoing process of salvation. Okay, don't feel worried about that. Is that all right? You know, have a look at yourself and we could go through that. We're not talking about that this morning, but we're talking about something similar, which is that we are holy. We are holy ones. Christ has made us holy. We can't make ourselves holy. At the same time, we're called to holiness. Jesus said, didn't he? Be holy as I am holy. You know, he's talking about God. He says, God says, be holy as I am holy. So there's a sense to which we need to be holy, as well as the fact that we are holy. You know? And this is where it gets like a little bit mind-blowing, maybe, I don't know. But there's a bit where Jesus says in John chapter 17, where he says, I sanctify myself for their sakes. Sanctify is to make holy. So I make myself holy. And you think, well, how can you do that, Jesus? Because you're already holy, right? It's a conundrum, isn't it? But it's not, because yes, Jesus is fully, completely holy. But in becoming a human being, every day Jesus had to make choices like you and me have to make. He had to make choices to do this thing and not that. And he chose again and again in our bodies, as it were, you know, in our humanity, with our free will and our temptations. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin, because he didn't choose the temptation. He didn't do that one. He did this one. Does that make sense? And every time he was tempted, but without sin, that was a choice he made. He was tempted. No, thank you. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do this because it brings life and it brings goodness. And in doing that, in making those choices again and again, the same choices that you and me make, he talks about, I make myself holy. He's already holy, but he's making himself holy every moment by every choice he makes. Does that make any kind of sense? Are you okay with that? Yeah? Yeah. So Jesus talks about I make myself holy, and he says he does it for our sakes. That's why he does it. Lovely, isn't it? Now, that means that you and me, we are holy. We are the saints of God. The Bible calls us that. And yet, Jesus, as Jesus says, we are to be holy. You know, we've got to aim for holiness as well, as God is holy. And I'm not holy as God is holy. Not yet. That's brilliant. That was just a cough, wasn't it, Marshall? Yeah. Fantastic. Marshall's just print. You know how Marshall's got this little ministry of printing out gifts of cards. You know, I love it. He just printed two out this morning, which one says Jesus wept from our reading this morning, and the other was Saint Athanasius of Alexandria. And I'm not quite sure why he's given me this, but I'll ask him afterwards. But St. Athanasius was amazing. He just so talked about Jesus. C.S. Lewis talked about one of the things that he wrote as, you know, being this amazing treatise, which it is, about the incarnation and the fact that God stepped into the world in order to save it and all this sort of thing. And it's really, really good. And at that time, oh, no, I'm not going to go into St. Athanasius anyway, but it's exciting stuff. But, you know, right, so we're talking about holiness. Hello. And how I'm not holy. How we're all holy, but we also need to be holy. We need to make those choices, just like Jesus. You know, we're tempted in every way, just as he is, you know, or was. Yet he was without sin, and we too need to be choosing those things that are good, things that bring life, things that bring love and peace and joy and righteousness. Does that make sense? And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute too. But, so just to hold all of that for a minute, and then say, so what are saints? You might, I was thinking, you know, you might think, oh, do we saints in the Anglican Church? You know, obviously, you know, we know that the Catholic Church is big on saints and stuff. Do we do the saints in the Anglican Church? Well, what's the name of this church? Well, there you go. So that's the end of that argument. Yes, we do saints. We, you know, but... But what do we do with the saints? Well, that's another question, isn't it? What do the saints do with us? I don't know. But we believe that all of us are saints. And there's a really lovely way of looking at this. So in the Roman Catholic Church, they do very much like to, and they do this for good reasons, they like to have a law for everything or a rule for everything, right? And it comes from... You know, they're a Latin church that, you know, they go back to the Roman Catholic Church, and the Romans were very legal and very kind of administrative, and they liked to have everything like this. And growing out of that, the church that grew out of that is also quite legal and, you know, likes to have everything cut and dried. But the reason it does that is for a good reason, and it's because it doesn't want anyone to be in any doubt or wondering, is it this or is it that? It goes, it's this. There's the line. It's exactly there. So they make a rule about saints, and they say, you know, if you're going to be a saint, you need to fulfill these criteria, and they have a number of criteria. You have to be able to, you know, prove that this person performed a miracle, that when they were prayed to, they did something, you know, that there's, you know, there's various things. There's a set of stages, you know, you get beatified, and then, you know, and so on, and eventually you end up a saint. Now, that's what the Roman Catholic Church do. The Orthodox Church, the Christian East, do something a bit different, similar, but different, and they don't really disagree with each other. It's just that the Orthodox Church are a little bit less rule-bound. Does that make sense? They still, you know what they believe. But I love this. This is what they say. So they say, we are all saints. You and I are all saints. And sometimes we really recognize that someone, a man or a woman, or a, you know, a child, is particularly holy. You know, they've made those choices again and again throughout their lives, and we really see something of God in that person. Does that make sense? Do you know anyone like that? I know a few people like that. I will tell you a couple of people in a moment. But they've made these choices, and we really see God in those people. And sometimes, so the Orthodox Church would say, actually, most of the saints, the real godly, holy men and women of God, we don't know their names, most of them, because they were hidden. Hey, they were that, Mrs. Buggins, who sort of prayed for her friends and her family faithfully for 90 years, you know, and saw things happen through her prayers, but didn't tell a soul about it. And no one knew she prayed like that. And she used to share a cup of tea every morning with her neighbor, and her neighbor, that was the only person that her neighbor knew, and through that love, her neighbor came to know the love of God. No one knows about that, all right? Those are the real saints. That's what, you know, I think the Orthodox Church would say. But then we also sometimes spot someone and they're just, you know, they're more visible and where the whole church, where the people of God go, that's a holy person. Not where the people at the top, you know, the bishops and stuff, go, there's a holy person and we'll make them Saint Martha, you know. It's more that everyone else has spotted it. And eventually, the bishops are the last ones to finally come round. And they go, all right then, just because, you know, everyone else has recognized the holiness of this person. Okay, we'll call them Saint so-and-so, and they'll have a special service, and they'll call them Saint so-and-so. But in calling that person Saint so-and-so, they are recognizing that we're doing this because it's good to have heroes, isn't it? It's good to have people to look up to. It's good to have people that you can go, oh, that's what I want to be like, you know? And obviously Jesus is the ultimate, but it's good to see human beings around us and go, oh, I want to be like that. I can see how that works. I can see how that person's a bit like Jesus in that area of their lives, and that makes it more possible for me, right? So that's why they do that. But they recognize that actually most of the saints are hidden. We'll never know their names. And I love that. It's good, isn't it? Yeah. So that's a little bit about sainthood. But so going back to the whole thing of, well, then what is, we talk about saints. Saints means holiness or holy ones. What is holiness? What is holiness? If a saint, if you and I are saints, and some people are really godly, aren't they? That godliness, that holiness, that sanctity, that sainthood, what is that quality? What is sainthood? What is sanctity? What is holiness? Any thoughts? It's a tricky one, isn't it? Set aside. So holy to be holy means to be set aside. That's what the word actually means, yeah. In Greek, it's hagios. In Latin, it's sanctus. And in Hebrew, it's kadesh, isn't it? Yes, gosh, nearly. Yeah, and all those words mean set aside. Yeah, set apart. There's a sort of set apartness to holiness. Any other thoughts? Choosing to be different, and that's what that's another way of saying what that set asideness actually looks like in real life. It's choosing to be different. Yeah. Purity. Yeah, what's purity? Purity of what? Thoughts? What you say. That's, yeah.
Constancy.
That's a lovely word. Yeah. What do you say a bit more about that? Yeah. 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 It's consistent through and through. Yeah, yeah. Just, yeah, that you a bit like Brighton Rock, you know, no matter where you cut it, you'll always see the thing. Yeah. All the way through. Or Winnie the Pooh in the honey jar. Just test it, you know, just that maybe at the bottom it's not good. So oh, yeah, it's good. All the way through. yeah. So all those things. So holiness. Rowan Williams had a lovely way of talking about holiness. He said, it's where someone's life, and it might just be in one particular aspect of their life, something about God, some quality of God, shines through, like shining through a window. It's like they've got a window in their heart, their life, their soul, I don't know, you know, and a quality of God has seen, you know, just shines through, and you really see that thing in that person. I'll tell you about someone, Gordon. I wasn't going to name him, and then I thought, I'll stuff it, he wouldn't mind. Gordon was my training incumbent when I was a curate. So you get ordained in the Anglican Church, as you know, and your first job is usually under a more experienced vicar, and you come in as the curate, and I was the curate for in this church that Gordon was the vicar of. Gordon was about to, you know, kind of right at the end of his ministry, very, you know, well experienced, and was going to retire after, and did retire actually after my curacy. I got my kids at the back there, and they all remember Gordon. Gordon, bless him, was a real character. He is honestly the last person that would call himself a saint, and for good reason. Bless him. But you know, St. Paul said that, didn't he? You know, I'm the least of the apostles, and I'm, you know, the biggest sinner, you know. And Gordon would not only say that, he would actually believe it. And I'm sure Paul did as well. He used to kick the cat. He got so freaking angry with his cat, he'd swear at the cat. And he used to hate this cat, you know. I can't tell you some stories that I would love to tell you. About after what happened after vestry meetings, and I just remember after him shutting the door after a vestry meeting, the last person had left. It was in the vicarage, and I was just the last. I was with him, you know. The last person had finally walked out the door, and he shut the door, and he just banged his head against the door, and he said some words that I can't repeat in church. And then he turned to me and said, "Do you want a whiskey?" So Gordon had his flaws. And he'd be the first person to admit it. He was a grumpy old man, Gordon was. But I think he played up to it. He quite liked being the grumpy old man. You know, a bit like the guys on Sesame Street, those two guys go, "Rubbish, get off!" You know, and they're just like, you know, grump away at everyone. That's Gordon. But at the same time, honestly, I've never known kindness from any. I thought I knew what the word kind meant until when I met Gordon, I realized there was just kindness was a next level thing. You know, it was on another plane. I've never known anyone as kind as Gordon, but God had got hold of Gordon somehow. And I think it was through a lot of painful stuff that he went through. And Gordon just knew the kindness of God just flowed out of him when he wasn't being a grumpy old so-and-so, you know? When we first moved, is it right if I just share about Bethany, about how you felt when we first moved? Don't worry if it's not. I can talk about a different thing. All right. Well, when we first moved, Bethany was, because she'd been uprooted from Cambridge, where we'd moved from, she was really, you know, really, really upset and stuff. And it turned out a bunch of things happened, like the horses at the bottom of the garden and things like that, which were amazing, such a gift from God. But one of the other gifts was, we were really kind of, you know, Katie and I, feeling awful and trying to, you know, hold Bethany through the first couple of months were really, really hard. And Gordon just came along. He just said, hey, you know, just do what you have to do, and we'll be fine as a church, you know. And of course, I did all the things I needed to do, but he was really, really gracious. And he said, hey, look, Bethany, do you want to come and do some pottery? And that's where, and you love potting now, don't you? But that's where you first did pottery, was with Gordon. And he used to do, you know, take me and Bethany, and he just showed us such kind. We didn't know him. He just showed us such kindness. I wish I could tell you all the things that he did, but just the kindness of God flowed from that man. I think that's just such a saintly thing about Gordon. There's a woman in a monastery that I used to visit as well, and Sister Gabriella. Her name is Gabriella, from Gabriel, and She paints. She's a painter, and she paints beautiful things, ends up in cathedrals and all sorts of stuff. And she would have been, were she not who she is now, a grumpy old so-and-so. But one of those people that's quite blunt, you know, and just doesn't care. You know, they say what they think, and you just have to lump it. You know what I mean? But she's made choices throughout her life, and you can tell that that's the personality that she sort of would have, because she still says things very like, bonk, black and white, but there's no sting in them at all, and there's always love and grace. I've never seen that, you know, because, I mean, I know plenty of people, I'm probably one myself, that are quite blunt and quite, you know, direct or whatever. But there's usually, there can often be a bit of a, behind it. Do you know what I mean? That's absent. She's got that personality, but it doesn't have the sting. Does that make sense? That's a holiness there. Now, I probably need to stop. There's so much to say about holiness, but I genuinely think, and it's not just me, you know, this is what Christians have said, as you know, down the ages, holiness all comes down to those little choices, those little things, those little kindnesses we show, taking someone to do some pottery when they're really grieving and traumatized and having a hard time. You know, choosing to speak with no malice when you just feel like putting a bit of an edge in there. Those little choices are the big choices, and they're daily choices, aren't they? There was, I read a text from way back, 500 AD it was, you know, so 1,500 years old, this guy in the desert in Egypt. And he's just talking to another person, and he says, you know, when you come to eat, just take a little bit less than what you were going to. You know, my eyes are always bigger than my stomach. Anyone else like that? You know, and I'm like, food. You know, and he says, just take a little bit less. And it's not a big deal, and you don't have to. He's not like saying you have to. He says, just take a little bit less, because it's editing yourself. It's kind of like saying no to a bit of greed. Does that make sense? For me, it would be saying no to a bit of greed. I would be going, oh, I really want all of that stuff. So this morning, it's Bethany's birthday, her 21st, and we had croissants and pain au chocolat. I was the first in for the croissants. And they were all the same size except for this big, fat, juicy one right at the front. Right? So I took the big, fat, juicy one, and I said to myself, in justification, it's the nearest, you know, I'll just take the nearest, you know. And I put it back, I took it back, and I was reminded by this saint's words, you know, take a little bit less. And I thought, I don't want to take a little bit less. I really don't. And I thought, oh, stuff it. All right, then. And I did. I took a little bit less. And now I've blown it by telling all of you. But, so, you know, I'm not going to get any reward for that. But but it's those little, I thought just worth saying, because it's those little choices that no one would see except for the fact that now I've told all of you. No one would normally see that. And if I hadn't told anyone, no one would know except me that I'd done that. And it's just a little thing between me and God where I've gone, actually, I'm not, I recognize I'm a wee bit greedy, because I am, and, you know, a little bit selfish, because I am, more than a little bit, and actually, I'm going to choose to take the smaller bit, and no one's going to know, and that's the end of that. Those little choices, does that make sense? They're the things that make us a little bit more like Jesus, that sanctify us, that make us holy. Those little choices, or the choices about how we speak. Like I just said, you know, like Gabriella, that she's just blunt personality, but there's no edge to it anymore, no edge. She just chooses to lay all of that down and to die to that. And where she could put a little bit of into it, no, she's not going to, and she doesn't. She's amazing. The little choices are the big choices. Is that all right? Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say so much more, but I'm not going to because we need to finish. But so that's a few things about holiness. That's a few things about saints. And I hope that makes sense. Don't think that saints are only, the big personalities or anything. They're the opposite. They're just people that people have recognized. And actually, we're all saints, and we're all called to sainthood, to holiness. That's the calling of all of our lives. I'll just leave you with this one thought, which is, if you and I can do everything we do, and it's possible to do this, everything we do in the presence of God, that's holiness. And we'll grow in that holiness. And the only way to do that is just to keep remembering, oh yeah, God's with me throughout the day. It's very mundane, very everyday. Just remember that God's with us. And sometimes we'll think, I'm not going to do that thing because I don't want to actually, because God's with me and I want to do this in his presence. All right. Bless you heaps. We're going to sing now, I think.